Hello everyone, welcome to another Quick Picks. I'm Varun and I'm joined by Saurabh and Shayan as always. Today's episode of Quick Picks is on the best IPL batters in history, where we just list them in order. For this 15 names, 5 each. And if for those of you who are not familiar with the snake style draft, the order goes 1, 2, 3 and 3, 2, 1. Today's order is Saurabh, Shayan and then me. So we just, last week would be the bowling one which went out. So just in the bat, so the best IPL batters would just be the natural direction. So Saurabh, you have the first pick. Take us away.
AB de Villiers.
Of course it is.
The least surprising first pick in this one at least. So yeah, I mean, if we had Rob Barron on the show, I would have gone for a different South African, just so that we would get 5 minutes of high quality diss. But since there's no Rob, I can't pick Jacques Callis, so it's AB de Villiers.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, doesn't he? He was so good as an IPL batter. Sorry. He has plenty of seasons. We saw the best of him. We saw where the IPL was for RCB, wasn't it? Like where they just... I think they tried their best to not use him well at times, but he still accidentally kept doing well for them. So that's how good he was, right?
Yeah, I mean, he had no weakness, right? Like you could basically stick him into any phase against any type of bowling and he would find a way. It's not... There was no one set method that troubled him throughout his career or something. I mean, there were phases where you could say, okay, leg spin or something. Yeah. But it was never a big chunk of time where something troubled him. He was just so good. Such a quick eye. Such fast hands. Lovely balance. Everything, you know. He just was the batter you would build in a lab if you're building one for T20 cricket.
Yeah, completely. Absolutely. Agree
so his
with
true
you.
Values are... true average of 17 and a true strike rate of 19.
Yeah,
exactly. I actually think his numbers, you know, unflatter him a bit, if that makes sense. Like, these are outstanding numbers. Like, a true average of 17 means he's averaging 17 more than people who faced a similar distribution of overs over his entire career. Same thing with true strike rate of 19. He's striking 19 higher than people who have faced the same. And I still think that is... you know, less than what the greatest that he had.
Yeah, I think I also agree with you more or less that like AB de Villiers, I also had him first, of course. I will say one thing that perhaps against spin, especially against, I think, some of the best spinners, he didn't always have the best numbers. But like, it's absolute nitpicking. If you're going into it, then that is the sort of nitpicking that you have to do. There is obviously, you know, there's two other guys who I also believe have a case to be first. But I would have also gone with AB as my number one pick. And pace bowling, I don't think we've seen a better pace hitter in my lifetime. And someone who's also as technically skilled, right? Like, I think Jared gave the example in Art of Batting of how him and Kohli, when somebody saw them in the nets in RCB, like, you could tell that Kohli was very hardworking and he was a really good player and all of that. And yet, AB de Villiers was like a level or two above him. Kohli himself said, I think, once that AB de Villiers is like 5 levels above me or something like that. And also, just the fact that you remember those pandemic times, right? When he was not playing any cricket, he was not playing international cricket, but he would just walk back into the IPL and be the best batter for RCB by a mile. So that is the greatness of the man. I think even if he wanted to, perhaps he could have stretched for a couple more years in the IPL. I remember definitely being really, really upset when he retired. I definitely had tears and everything. Like, he is one of those players who's really personal to me as well. So, absolute legend, icon of the game, and had to be the first pick.
Alright, so Shayan, who's your first pick then?
I will go with Chris Gayle as my second pick. I think not a whole lot of debate. I mean, the guy who I expect to be picked third also has really good numbers. But I will just go with Chris Gayle simply because of what he did in the IPL from 2011 to 2013, right? Like, he was not even in the auction in 2011, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, Saurabh. He came in as a replacement pick. And he just lit up the IPL for those 3 years.
Hey.
So if you look at his all-time numbers, he had a true average of 12 at a true strike rate of 31. So on paper, those numbers are even better than AB de Villiers. Also, his impact per innings is 6.28. So he had the ability to change the par score by 6.28 runs for every single innings. And we know that he had the ability to, you know, take his time at the start, but then he could really, once he knew what he was doing, he could hit almost every ball for six. And he's played, obviously, you can argue he's played the best innings in the IPL, right? We picked that as the, Varun didn't pick that as the first one, but that went in next as the best IPL innings of all time with good reason. I mean, scoring at that rate back then, just, I think it tells us about the greatness of the man in this format. Even when he was, you know, past his best, I would say he had a couple of really good seasons for Punjab Kings. And we know that this is the sort of player who is ruthless against both pace and spin. Like, if you have Chris Gayle set after the power play, in the middle overs, it is just going to be carnage, right? Because this guy is just going to keep hitting sixes over and over again. One of the smartest T20 batters, I would say, because he knew who to take on when. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it on me from Gayle.
Yeah, that's for Gayle. The intelligence is partly because of his red ball background, isn't it? Because he's a tester.
Exactly.
But there's I think I was recently watching a clip where he's facing Munaf Patel in the first over. He just leaves the first four balls and then he hits the last one for six or something, right? It's that sort of thing he can do. He's like, so yeah. Sharon, on the true values. So from 2011 to 2013, true average of 36, true strike record of 50. so that peak he has for RCB is something which we've never seen any batter do in the IPL.
That peak is better than any other IPL batter. Not even AB de Villiers
easily.
To that. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, AB de Villiers is the best batter the IPL has seen, but peak Chris Gayle is the best peak the IPL has ever seen. And he was actually a replacement player in 2011, as Cheyenne said. So Dirk Nannes had been, he was unsold in the auction, and Dirk Nannes had been picked for, I think, 550 or 650 USD. That time prices were in USD.
Yeah.
He had bowled like a wicket maiden against Mumbai Indians. And in that match is when he pulled up with a side strain. And that is how they got in. An absolute RCB tradition was established. You know, you lose a strike bowler, but the guy you get in is a explosive batter. So it was very clearly, batting, flamboyance and all that heavy from that point on.
True.
And both the stories of how Gayle came on board and why AB didn't play beyond 2021, you might get to know later in the year. I'll not say more now.
Yes, I will be excited to read that. And just with Chris Gayle, the other thing is he also came in as a replacement player, right? And we also know who is the other RCB player who came in as a replacement and changed their fortunes completely. Rajat Patidar, 2022. RCB have a history.
So the only thing is, Rajat was with RCB the previous year.
He was
expecting to be picked back, but he wasn't. And then when there was an injury, they brought him back.
Correct.
Whereas with Gayle, it was a more high-profile omission in the sense that, he didn't have a outstanding three seasons with KKR, but he was not bad. And he was still Chris Gayle. And there was still that ceiling that was there that was very evident. So it was a surprise when he was not picked in the auction. But then,
Hey, Saurabh, you say he didn't have a great season, but in 2010, he averaged 32 out of record of 159 for KKR. So
how many innings?
No.
He plays 9 innings.
No, I was
also
talking about
you could correct
not
me.
The great season. I was talking about the whole block of 3 years that he had. 8, 9, 10.
No, it isn't playing 8. So I think that's the other thing. Yeah. So, sorry, I was just about to ask. Wasn't there like an issue with NOCs with West Indies Cricket Board, which is why he wasn't picked or something like that?
No, so it wasn't exactly like that. It was at that time, the West Indies Cricket Board had, I think informally or formally announced that he would be part of their team. West Indies' earlier season used to be April, May, right? Before the IPL was there. Now they don't play cricket in April and May. But earlier they used to because that is a good season to play in the Caribbean, home season. So they were going to pick him in the West Indies team. And then, now the franchises picked him because they were like, he's not going to be available, So there's no point wasting an overseas slot and a lot of budget on a guy who's not going to be available. So nobody picked him in the auction. And then West Indies went ahead and didn't pick him in the team because he was having a tiff with the board. So suddenly Gayle was left without anything to play during that time. So that's how he happened to be available. And because he was available at that time, West Indies had also not picked him. So eventually they had to still give the NOC for him to be able to come and play the IPL. But it was not as if the NOC was a problem beforehand. I mean, it might have been an issue beforehand and they were not clear whether he would get it or not, which contributed to teams being a little wary about picking him. But what happened is that, yeah, IPL sides didn't pick him thinking he won't be available. Either he'll be picked or he'll not get an NOC. And then West Indies, just because of their tiff with him, didn't pick him.
That makes sense. So I have two picks in a row now?
Yeah.
So I'll obviously be going with, again, two open goals here. I'm going David Warner and Suresh Raina. That's my number 3 and 4.
Right?
So yeah, like as Shayan was saying, like with the top three, I know some all of us have AB, but if someone told me, I think Gale is the greatest IPL batter, Warner is the greatest IPL batter, I wouldn't really have any issues with it. It's almost a bit like with the ODI at the top four, exactly. Isn't it?
I would have minor issues with them, but I would let it go.
Yeah, but it's I don't think it's not far fetched, right? It's, for example, if someone was like Rohit Sharma is the greatest IPL batter of all time, I'm like, what? I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Am I just hearing that correctly? So, but that isn't the case. And I think with Suresh Raina, he's by some distance the greatest playoff batter we've ever seen, right? Yeah. And he's still the greatest playoff batter we've ever seen after being shit for 10 playoff games in a row, right? Till like 2014, what was it, 7 50s and 14 playoff games, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? So I think he's definitely, and David Warner has what, 5 seasons where he's averaging over 45 at a strike rate of 140, and he made 500 runs in every single one of those seasons. So he was anchoring at a rate we had never seen up till that point. Mm-hmm. So both of them had done things in very different ways, and both of them were very integral to their teams, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Warner's true stats are also actually very similar to AB's in a sense.
Correct.
Average of 13, true strike rate of 19, which makes sense with the home wickets that he played on, right? Like Hyderabad was not particularly a high scoring ground. They used to have great bowling attacks, and Warner was their main man with the bat who would carry them, and often with not a whole lot of support around him. So, I really rate his peak very, very highly.
100%. And even Suresh Raina, he has a steep decline in the IPL, isn't he? Exactly.
Yeah.
So, it's back to Shayan then.
Yeah, so I have to pick the 5th best IPL batter of all time. This is a question I've been evading for like a long, long time. I honestly still don't know if I have a great answer for it. But yeah, I mean, after going through the numbers, also working on this piece I was working on recently, I feel like I've seen enough to be convinced that I'll go with Surya Kumar Yadav as the 5th best IPL batter of all time as my next pick. His true values are also really good. He has a true average of 9 at a true strike rate of 15. So you're getting like a decent amount of runs and at like a good, very, very good true strike rate. So now with Sky also, I think his IPL career really takes off from 2018. I don't really rate whatever happened before 2018. I know there's some years, you know, Gambhir particularly rated him very highly. I know he had him as a vice captain and all of that. He could play a few handy knocks down the order, but I don't really, you know, think there was enough volume up to that point. So 18-19, he has two decent seasons. 2020 to 22, I know 21 is a little lower on that, but 2020 and 2022, he has very good years. Like, he breaks into the Indian team at that point, right? That 2020 season is the one that gets him the gig with the Indian team. But in the last 3 seasons, what he's done, especially in 23 and in 25, he has like 600, 700 runs at an insane true strike rate, guys. So this is a player who is now also scoring volumes of runs and doing it very, very fast. Also with him, you get the fact that he is a very good player of spin. But actually, when you go through his numbers, he's better against pace. Is it not, Varun? Like, he feels like he's definitely very good against spin, but his numbers against pace seem to stand out even more. So you're getting someone who's giving you value against both kinds of bowlings, both kinds of bowlers. And yeah, I think that's why he is my next pick. On impact, I think he has an impact per innings of 3.3, which is a bit lower than David Warner's 3.63. And he has a sample size as well now, right? Like, if we were doing this, say, 3 years back, and then if somebody picked Sky, I would say, have we seen enough yet? But now with him, we've got enough years to determine, and he's got, 4,300 runs? So we're not even talking about a small sample size. So I'm happy with him.
So I think we were having a conversation before last IPL season where I was like, if Sky has a great season, he might be on par with Raina in the IPL.
Yeah, you've been having that discussion.
Yeah. Because I was like, I looked at him, I'm like, fucking hell, this guy is really good. So last year, Behram, Estelle, and I did a quick picks on the best IPL team, and we had Sky. And there were a few comments that were like, well, you guys are letting your T20i judgment cloud your IPL team. And I'm like, I actually think you could make a very good argument. Sky as an IPL batter is better than Sky the T20i batter. Because if you see him in T20i cricket, the two main issues we have with him is, one is that he only plays it during his peak, and the other is his World Cup record or his knockout record isn't that good. He doesn't have that in the IPL, right? He plays since he's like 21 or 22. He plays when he's bad. He anchors in a couple of seasons, and he's transformative in a couple of seasons. He also has great playoff record for MI as well. So there aren't a lot of flaws in his IPL record, right? I think he more than earned his spot at number 5. I know some fans will be very upset with it because... Yeah, there's because some big names, I don't know if it's a popular opinion, right? Yeah.
So my
no issues were mine. Yeah.
My hot take is I would have picked Sky maybe above Raina if we just ignore the playoff record and just go by only numbers. I might have had him ahead of Raina. I never am quite sure where to rank these guys in 4 and 5, but they were my 4 and 5 for sure. Just like the top 3 are set. For me, the 4 and 5 are absolutely set. If Sky has another blockbuster season this year, then for me, he would be 4 ahead of Raina.
So I was actually with you, right? I think it was like a couple of weeks ago, Sean and I were going through Raina's career. Then I was like, okay, he deserves to be number 4.
He was really good in some years, guys, Raina.
No, he was, I agree, he was. Maybe I just have a slight Sky bias. But
before you go to your two picks, we'll just take a quick break and once we're back, we'll go to yours.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible now. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Crick Picks. Saurabh has two picks in a row now.
Right. So I think you guys would have had this guy in your list of 15. I don't know if you would have had him so high. I'm going Andre Russell at number 6.
Interesting.
I think he was also a transformative IPL player. His advanced stats, the true stats, the true average and true strike rate, I think are very Gale-esque, which we had discussed in our overseas 11 Crick Picks.
I believe.
Our overseas Crick Picks, overseas IPL 11, which was out just recently, which you guys can also go and watch, has that discussion too. But Dre Russ, I think, is he did things that nobody else could, and for the most consistently long period at the most difficult position in T20 cricket, which is whatever that 6-7 finishing role. So that's why I think he is my number 6. And I think if you take the, I think Himanish also uses this runs above average measure at times. Dre ranks very high on that. Like how many runs he has scored more than what the norm is at that position. So number 7 is a guy who might have been expected to go earlier than this, but I'll pick him now. It's Virat Kohli.
He's gone, but I'm surprised you picked him at 7.
No, so I really like the intent-pilled Kohli that has come into the IPL from mid-2024 onwards. I think we have discussed this before, but he is a top 10 IPL bat of all time. So 7 seems like a reasonable position to pick him in. And just for the... I mean, impact and true values don't really give longevity any points. Yeah. So I added a few of my own for that, and which is why I picked him now instead of, you know, maybe one or two spots later. And the way he has transformed his game is actually quite stunning. He's playing shots that he never did before. He's moving around the crease a lot more. And he's just generally, his whole approach to T20 batting has completely changed. it just shows that he could always do it, right? Like, nobody ever doubted that he could, right? Given the guy's batting talent, you know that obviously he can be a more aggressive version of himself if he chooses to be that. But I think he finally saw that this is what his team needs also. It doesn't need him to bat through the innings and score 90 of 60 balls or something. So it does that. Even so, there was this match that RCB played this year against CSK at the Chinnaswamy, where initially the pitch was quite tacky. The outfield was just terrible. The ball was just not going, you know, no matter how hard you hit it. Kohli ends up as, on paper, probably the worst batter in RCB's 11. He made 28 of 18. But he batted at the time where the pitch was at its most difficult. And he just kept on and on attacking. And
14
attacking I can't think of any... Yeah, 14 attacking shots in 18 balls. Like, that's just mental. And I can't think of any version of Kohli pre-2024 who would have done this. Yeah. Even 2016, when he was in such pristine touch, he wouldn't have done this. He would have pivoted his batting.
So funnily, that's exactly what I was talking to Cheyenne about before this podcast. Yeah. I was like, the same pitch 3 years ago, he would have been 50 or 40. Exact same pitch, right? He would have thought the pitch is really tough. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to anchor this chase, right? I think in this, however, I think what Virat didn't realize was what we were talking about in, I think what Rob and Cheyenne and Jared, all of them were talking about as well, is the outfield was slow, but the pitch didn't show conclusive evidence that it was necessarily bowling friendly. So he kept attacking, right? Because we know this with Virat is, one thing Virat is unbelievably good at, which is lots of modern batters on his, he knows that even if he's 15 or 15, if the pitch isn't in his favor, he will not do stupid shit, which a lot of people will do, right? Like, we know, we love Abhishek, but if Abhishek Sharma is 10 of 10, you know he's getting out on the 11th ball. Virat is very good at not doing that. Yeah. He's like, okay, doesn't matter. Mm. Even if I'm stuck, I can make it up, right? And you saw all the RCB batters. Phil Salt would have looked at Virat doing that. He was patient as well, which he usually isn't. Right, yeah. David Padikkal was patient, right? Tim David was not didn't mind being like 2 of 6, 2 of 5. Sorry, right? That's and big reason why is because of what Virat has done is he's. I think Jared always talks about this with basketball with Will Chamberlain is, I think Will Chamberlain's like points per game reduces because they told him you need to pass more. That's exactly what Virat has done, and I'm really grateful to him because it's made him a better batter in the IPL and it's made RCB a better team as a result of it. Right, he had to. There's some people where like who might come up where you want them to take more you want to give them a lot more responsibility, you want them to be the part of the team, whereas with Virat I think someone in the RCB team had to tell him it's okay dude, you don't need to do everything for us, give some responsibility away. We're paying the middle order for a reason. If they don't make runs and you did your job, it's not on you to make up for their faults. Right, and because of that, if you're like a Patira or Jitesh Sharma and Virat showing trust in you, how good would that feel, right?
Yeah,
you're going to get better, aren't you? And as I was, I think we had this convo before 2023, I genuinely don't know where we would have Virat as an IPL batter. Right? He might not make this list. Right?
The last top 15, definitely. Top 15, he might have still made it. But
I think he would.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can see where Varun is coming from. That it might have been.
I agree too. I have the same feelings as Varun. Actually, you know, till 2022, I also had like a bunch of reservations. Yeah. But you know, I think just to add to you guys' points, I would say that because he was also a test batter for the longest time, I think that would have had an impact in him not trying to take a whole lot of risks. This is the theory that I've been going with, right? Like, if you are an elite test batter, it's basically very, very rare to be an elite T20 hitter also at the same time. Like. Travis Head is the only one that perhaps comes to mind, right? He was having success in tests and also hitting the ball in T20s. But he has just started opening now. We've seen KL Rahul change his T20 style completely because he was not scoring.
Sorry, Sean. But Head is, he attacks in test cricket too, right? It's not like he slows down.
True. Right? That's how he plays. Exactly.
I mean, and Yashasvi Jaiswal might be the closest candidate.
Jaiswal
after
is the other
Head.
One, right? But even Jaiswal is not making the Indian team, right? Like, as good as he is, he is one of the best in the league. I have no issues with that. And in my opinion, he should, you know, I was obviously saying if you're playing him, you should open with him back in the Asia Cup and all of that. But basically, the two things that also like go against Virat is that he starts at a very young age, right? So that 2008-10 period is when he doesn't get a whole lot of runs. And when you are an Indian batter and when you are in the worst form of your life, you are not going to be dropped, right? Like, and if you're Virat Kohli, you are not going to be dropped. You have to play through your bad times, through your good times, through the times where you've had no middle order, through the times you now have a middle order. Some of that, of course, his captaincy mistakes as well. I'm not denying that. But all said and done, I was very confused where to rate him. I mean, I obviously knew what all he has done in the IPL. He's my favorite player, so of course I know what he is. But the thing is, I was very confused where to rate him. So I'm happy Saurabh picked him. And I don't have to worry a whole lot about that. And
yeah. I was confused between him and Russell.
The other thing on Kohli I find quite interesting.
So
is
I picked both.
From 2011 to 17, he is actually a very good player of spin. Varun and I were looking this up, right? He's a very, very good player of spin. He doesn't get out to it and scores at like a very good clip. And against pace in the power play, he goes like at a very, very slow rate. Since 2018, he has reversed that. He started going a lot slower against spin and taking on pace in the power play. We were wondering if that has something to do with the 2018 test match season where he had to play all those overseas tests. Maybe he made some technical adjustments to counter pace bowling better because, you know, his interception points even in England were really high, right? Like, you would come out, you would bat out of his crease. And even the WTC final, we saw the first one, how he was approaching test batting. And even the stats that Himanish was sharing recently, right? What he does is, why bowlers can't bowl at a good length to him is because he's making those slot balls by walking down the crease and, you know, hitting, manufacturing all of those shots. So, yeah, I think it's a career of, you know, lots of highs and lows. This feels like about the right spot.
Yeah, I think it was a very interesting point that you mentioned, Shayand, about him having to play through a lot of bad form, you know. That is the lot of Indian players, I guess, the prominent Indian players. They just have to, you can't make them sit on the bench. And also with just four overseas and all that, you have to the overseas guys will have that luxury of not being picked when they're not in form.
Yeah.
And Virat doesn't have that because even in 2008-10, when he was not yet the superstar of world cricket that he later went on to become, it's not like he could be dropped. RCB's team construction was such that he needed to be there. Although 2010, he did have a very good Champions League T20. That he did. But 2010, I think the Champions League that happened that year was possibly the best phase he had for RCB, including the IPL seasons.
Agreed.
Of before.
Was there not a game where they lost by a run or something like that? And he was playing as a finisher.
Yeah.
I believe
he made
against Zaheer Khan, if I'm not wrong.
47 of 29 or something he was not out on. Which was amazing at that time period. This is like a minor footmarks during the show on Virat Kohli.
Kohli's IPL career. Here you go, guys. You can clip this out.
Yeah, I think we're basically just trying to not be yelled at by Virat fans for having him at 7 and not 1, essentially.
You guys will be yelled at. I picked him. You guys didn't. You had the option to pick him.
That's also true, yes. That's true. So, Shayan, back to you.
All right, then I have to go with the 8th best IPL batter then, I believe. There's actually a bunch of players who are very similar to Suryakumar Yadav, I feel. A little tier lower than them, maybe you can say. But there's three guys. I am wondering if I should go with my first love in cricket. If I should go with the guy who is my newest obsession in cricket. Or another guy who is one of my favorite players of all time, right? Like, also a Delhi Capitals player. So I'm really confused who to go with. I think
just
I will go with
Vaibhav Suryavanshi and be done with it.
I actually, just give me 1 second. I have the numbers of them also in front of me right here. So, you know what? I think I will go with Yusuf Pathan as my next pick. I am completely
Fuck
obsessed
off.
With him these days. But I will give you a
such
reason
a
for
dickhead,
it.
Child.
I'm shocked.
You can let
I'm
me have Yusuf.
Varun has the next pick and you go and do this. He was obviously going to pick Yusuf if you weren't. And like... This is a dick.
I will tell you why I went with him and not Sehwag or Rishabh Pant, who I also believe have a great case. Also, MS Dhoni, who I believe will be picked at some point in this rough. If he isn't, I will pick him. So, Dhoni fans, don't yell at me. I do actually rate his IPL career very highly. Point being that with Yusuf Pathan, what you get is, it's a novelty, right? Him being the spin hitter that he was back in that time, it was very, very rare. And he was a massive standout. It was Shane Warne who really understood how to use him. Was it not, Varun? Use him in that 7-11 period. Let him go nuts. Let him take down spin. Just because he's a big power hitter, you don't use him at the death, right? You want to maximize him versus spin bowling. Obviously, we all have our issues with India not utilizing him in T20 cricket. There's something really big coming up on that. So stay tuned for that. But I will just say the years for Yusuf Pathan that I rated very highly. 2008, 2010, 2011, 13, 14 and 16. So he played about 12 years in the IPL, and of those 6 years I really, really liked. Pant, I feel, just falls short in terms of the number of years compared to Yusuf Pathan. So I think that is my next pick.
I think with Pant, you could argue what Pant does from 17 to 19 is better. Is a better streak than what Yusuf has done.
But the issue
is Pant's fall off has been so dramatic.
Pant didn't make my list because of the fall off.
Top 15?
Because of the fall off.
In and about. Yeah.
I had him in the list. I had no order this time, no. I had him in the list of players I would have.
But Chayan was doing what? That jale pe namak chidakna, salt on wounds, no? He's talking about Yusuf, and isn't it Varun? Isn't it Varun?
Yes, like, yes, I know, man. Yeah. I actually think you can make an argument.
He is the Yusuf Pathan expert, in-house Yusuf Pathan expert. So.
Actually, why am I trying to be so politically correct with this? Yusuf is the best spin hitter India have had in T20 cricket.
Of course.
Yeah, comfortably, right?
IPL innings, right?
Sir.
100 of 37 and 72, not out of 22.
Yeah.
No, not out, sorry. He was out. 72 of 22. So, two absolutely gun knocks from him. We picked him in the best IPL knocks as well.
Yes.
So.
Yes. But unfortunately, it's such a shame he's such an overrated slogger who's inconsistent. Unfortunate reality, isn't it? Yeah. So, we'll just take a quick break. And then once we're back, I'll just do my back-to-back picks.
I once made a pair in a club game, which is almost impossible to do. But I've been obsessed with batting my entire life. And so I put that into my new book, The Art of Batting. Being that I'm not very good at that skill, I decided to talk to other people who were. So I hit up as many contacts as I could just to talk about batting. Rahul Dravid, Brian Lara, AB de Villiers, Kumar Sangakkara, Ross Taylor, Susie Bates, Nasser Hussain, Ian Chappell, and so many, many, many more. I wanted batters to talk about how they and their friends made runs, because that is the art of batting.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Crick Picks. So I was just about to do my back-to-back picks. So I'm actually going to go for someone who goes against all my values. I'm going Jos Buttler as one of my picks.
Yeah, I like him.
I mean, so he was there.
Mm. Yeah, I think he's been really good as he's been very consistent. He's one of those people where I'm like, I think if he has two more good seasons, he could go higher up on this list as well. But so there's some season, like 2024 was so weird for him. He has 200s, but does nothing either side of it, right?
Exactly. And two really good
2022, he was
two,
really good. Yeah.
Two amazing hundreds.
Especially
two
the
amazing
KKR
hundreds,
one.
Right?
Yeah, the KKR one was stunning. I mean,
yeah, stunning. One,
what was it? They make 96 in 6 overs. And what was it? Last 3 overs, he faces all the balls, I want to say?
Yeah.
Almost,
something like that.
I mean, there's a run out there also, I think, because he had to farm strike at some point. He's, I mean, when you said I'm going to pick someone who goes against all my values, I actually, very wild, brief moment, thought you're picking Jacques Kallis or someone, but you went to Jos Buttler.
I think he deserves to be in the top 15 list, right?
He was in mine, for sure.
Definitely. This is the ninth pick, isn't it?
It's fine, I might have gone with the Indian guys I was talking about, but like Buttler was also in my conversation for sure.
I think he's better than the other Indian keeper we were talking about. But so my 10th pick, I'll take Virendra Sehwag. He's part of my values. Yes.
Shayan picked Yusuf, so you have to pick Sehwag. You can't let him have
pick my guy then. All right then. Back to me.
Yeah, we did a whole piece on Sehwag. I could do an entire podcast on Sehwag and Yusuf. So just go watch that main video we did, man. It was so good.
Exactly.
He's such a good IPL batter.
His first 3 years, his true strike rate was 60, 40 and 50. I will say 2009, he doesn't make a whole lot of runs. So maybe say that fine. Not that great a year. But I would count 2008, 2010. 2011 was easily his best year. Then 2012 also, he has a really, really good time. After that, I think he starts to decline a bit. I will give him maybe 2014, he has the playoffs innings, but I would say 2013 onwards, he's not quite the same batter. So he still has like four really, really stunning years at the IPL. And imagine his numbers then looked so pretty. Even if you put them now, they're like maybe Phil Salt or these sort of guys type numbers, right? Just on raw values, I'm saying. If you put him like based on true values, he'll be off the charts, man. Like this era, if you just ask him to let loose in the power play, he did every ball, I think. Like intent-wise, he was literally going to hit every ball.
With those numbers, I think he'd be opening for Sunrisers tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we wrote also in our piece, right?
Yeah.
That's what we Same.
It wouldn't look out of place, would it? Like, that's exactly. That's how good he was, right?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Right. Right then. I have the next pick, do I not?
Yes,
now
sir.
It's between two Indian wicketkeepers for me, I would say. It's between Rishabh Pant and MS Dhoni, and I'm going with MS Dhoni. And the reason for it is, again, longevity. With Rishabh Pant, I know his peak from 2017 to 19 is something few batters ever in the IPL have done in terms of just the speed of runs he was scoring, but also the volume of runs. Like in 2018, I believe, for a non-opener, he had the most runs. Like, so Kane Williamson won the Orange Cap that year. He had a very good year. But Kane Williamson was opening for the majority of it. For someone who was a non-opener, Rishabh Pant was the best. Like, in terms of just volume of runs. If you look at his true strike rate that year, true strike rate of 40. 684 runs at a true strike rate of 40. That's what we are talking about, right? And even the season after that, he averages 37 at a strike rate of 163. So I would count those 17, 18, 19, 3 years for him. And then I would also say 22, he has a... Like, on raw numbers, he has a pretty solid year. I don't quite rate that year a whole lot because I watched it and it was like, yeah, fine. He's scoring runs. Like, he was getting consistent runs, but he was not having... You know, sometimes what happens is you make a lot of 30s, 20s and at, like, a decent clip, but you don't always have the same impact on your team. That also depends on the other end. But still, let's say we count that year. I actually think 24, felt was a decent season for him, but when I looked at the true values, he was -6 on true strike rate. So that disappointed me a bit.
No, I think it's why 24, though, he was stat padding a bit at times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I believe with Dhoni, of course, we've all been talking about him in recent times, right? He barely comes into bat. I basically compared him to Seymour Clark in my T20 keeper's piece, right? He's a specialist keeper at this point. And of course, he also get captaincy with him and he's just coming in to slog a few at the end. But what he did in the IPL till 2019... I honestly rate that very, very highly. And just if we look at his all-time numbers, he has the second best true average of all time, which is something which comes back to the point we are always making, right? He was a finishing anchor. So he had a -0.38 true strike rate, which is like about what you would expect for the role that he did. But there is a reason why he had a low true strike rate, right? Like, there were times when Chennai's were 24-4 and that entire 2019 season where he was rescuing them out of nowhere, even 2018, he has an absolutely gun year. So I think when we count those years and then some of those early seasons, right, when he's actually slapping the ball around, I believe 2013 is one of those years where he has a really good true strike rate. So yeah, I know he has some issues against spin, but simply for the epic finishes that he's had some in the IPL. If we get Varun started, obviously it is literally a podcast on its own. I don't think we are going to disagree with that. Even in 2011, he has quite a good year. He has a true strike rate of 27 that year. And all of this is at a true average of 24, 25. So 2011, 2013, 2009 also a solid year for him. 2009 semifinals, I believe he plays a very slow innings, which Varun keeps, you know, crying about a bit. But 2018, he has 76 average at a strike rate of 151. And 2019, he has 2019, he has an average of 104 at a strike rate of 135. But looks a bit lower because he's coming, having to do the cleanup job, right?
2019, I rate very highly for Dhoni.
Yeah, much beyond the true value.
It's my favorite Dhoni season.
Yeah, same. Yeah. 2018 to 2019,
that's the season I don't care about the impact, yeah.
2018, actually, he started off really badly, I think. He was very stodgy, and then in one innings where he was dropped or something happened and he just turned
he
it around.
RCB CSK, also, no.
CSK lost that game. It was at Chennai.
The Punjab game.
So he basically turns it around in that innings, and then he just goes on this to have this miracle season for him and the team, actually, you know, like.
Exactly.
To 2018, you know, Varun, you talk about the 21 and 2023 wins of CSK, but 2018 might be even more of an outlier win, right? That was the mega auction year. They're coming back and they pick all these players. That's how they get the name Dad's Army. And then, you know, they just end up winning.
I think it's
winning.
My favorite CSK win, I think, of all the wins.
I think, yeah, it would have been the most emotionally stirring for sure for any CSK fan. Yeah.
Right. I think that would make sense. His RPS stuff, I didn't quite like a whole lot. I mean, I don't really think his impact was all that much. Just look at his true average in 2016, 27, but at a true strike rate of -2. 2017, true average of 1 at a true strike rate of -21. Yeah, so we know, like, 2016 onwards, in general, he has a decline in his batting, clearly. You could see that in international cricket. I think the most obvious patterns were emerging where he would just get stuck against spin in particular. And even when he just couldn't get going, man. Like, I feel like sometimes he would do the hard job, and then right when it was time to go, he wouldn't be able to do that. So, but simply because of the longevity and the number of years and the impact he's had in some of those championship wins. Sorry?
I think you could argue that maybe the longevity is going to be too long for any All-Star lighting, but yes.
2023 is, in my personal opinion, I think 2023 was the, like, the perfect farewell, because he just won the title, would have been perfect, everything sorted. But I mean, retirement and all is a personal choice, right? If CSK want him to play, if he wants him to play, like, I mean,
2024 would have been also poignant enough. I mean, he had a great batting season in 24.
Perfectly, yeah. He was slapping the
just timed to enter in the last 10 balls, hit, like, you know, 20 of 12 or something, and then go off. And of course, their final match was that classic at Chinnaswamy, where RCB completed their miracle comeback. So that would have been a bittersweet end.
Also, for some reason, I've also, last season when Dhoni was not having a good season with the bat, right? I went to watch the one game, I went to watch Dhoni, he won them that game basically against, when Rishabh Pant was the captain. And as Varun keeps saying, is it Rishabh Pant being a bad captain,
whether,
or being a fan?
Dhoni won them the game or Pant won them the game is still the
We'll never know. Yeah. Both with bat and captaincy, actually, you know, now that we speak of Rishabh Pant.
Captaincy, I was just talking about the captaincy bit. Like,
the innings was also very bad, bro. Like, he made 63 of 49.
I can give him, you know, that he was trying to, like, captaincy was just, like Varun said, he was feeding Dhoni absolute pies. So I have one that I'm fairly certain of, so I'll pick him first. I'll go Shane Watson. I think his impact numbers are fairly decent, but also he has the playoffs tax that we do. And he has done it across, like, a generation almost. You know, he did it earlier with Rajasthan, and then he did it again with CSK in 18 and 19. I was just looking at, so he has a true average of 3.53, true strike rate of 17.6, which is, compared to his... His conventional strike rate is like 138. So that doesn't pop as much. But because he played in a lot of games and era where the strike rate was a lot lower, that's why he was actually scoring a lot quicker than expected. Which is why we also remember Watson's impact, right? Like, if you just look at the strike rate, you might think, oh, why? But the true values bring out the
Is raw impact. Numbers don't look very pretty. I think it's 32-133. And that's why I think when we were talking about him for the overseas one, I was actually shocked to know that his true values are as good. And shocked in the sense of, I didn't expect that, his raw numbers are not looking that good. So, but the true values, I mean, clearly did justice, because I also do remember him as, like, a proper player. And with Watson,
His RCB batting years were so horrible. I genuinely think it brings his overall career down.
It does. That's literally
it
what
It does
happens.
A little bit, Because, I mean, he was...
His two
he
worst
had
years,
great seasons with RR, then great ones with CSK. It was the RCB ones that went a little bit pear-shaped.
So the 2018 IPL, he has a true strike rate of 32. Average of 42. Wow. So true average of 13, true strike rate of 33. Basically, that's what you're expecting from him at his best.
Yeah.
I feel like Watson was also the sort of player who had his highs and his lows.
Was he in you guys 15?
Him with that. Sorry?
Was he in you guys 15?
I had him as a player I would have considered. Yeah. I don't know. As I said, I had no order after a point. Right? I put him as one of the players for sure.
Yeah.
I think I had it till Sehwag, that Dhoni Sehwag used to string. I was pretty sure. I wanted all of them in the top 10, top 12. Everything else after that, I think, is per preference.
Is where I'm getting stuck now for my next pick. Like, okay, did you have a runs cutoff or something? You know, which is very late in the day to be asking that. But you, Varun had no runs. What was your runs cutoff?
2,000 to 3,000 runs, I think, minimum. I have not gone.
Also 2,000 as my runs.
I think
runs
three
cutoff.
Mostly, but I would have looked at two also maybe at some point. Wait, what is the one that I have open in front of me? I have two. Yeah, I have 2,000 runs.
Two. Okay. I have to make this next pick.
you have.
I'm just thinking, who is the guy to go with? With a 3000 cutoff, actually, it's simpler.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just go Faf to play Seaman. Did you guys have him?
No, I didn't put him in the names, okay. But I can see the argument for him, yes.
He was there in my consideration set, and I had looked at his... one of the things that I like is, you know, a nice positive true average and true strike rate. He has 7.54 and 9.16, so he's doing better than expected on both counts. And again, he also did it across a generation where he started off in a CSK side where maybe 160 was a winning score. He also played in an RCB side where 200 was not a winning score and still kept up, you know, good numbers. So for the longevity, for keeping up a better than average standard across a decade and more, I think he should be there in the discussion of the top 15. I mean, there are many others actually who are at very, you know,
playoff stats also, you can
similar
say. That one great innings.
Playoff.
We picked in the Crick Picks also against.
Yes. I mean, yeah. But I don't remember anything special apart from that one. So I was going more on an overall career basis that he did it across.
True.
He did it at a time period where the game shifted.
He makes 86 in the 21 final as well.
Oh, yes, he does. Yeah. Now I remember that. He and Ritu both made scores in that, right? And both of them had a tough fight for the orange cap.
So Faf was a bit of a late bloomer in the IPL, wasn't it? I think 2020 is when he starts becoming really good.
I mean, I think he was decent before that. He had his good, decent moments. But yeah, then he becomes good and... I just like the fact that as the game evolved, his game evolved.
Yeah, that's so, fair.
So he's the makes the top 15. There's a lot of people actually who could make this list instead of him who have equal arguments for and against. I went with longevity and I just realized that out of the five guys I've picked, four have played for RCB. Two only for RCB almost and
It's Faf, it's also special because he's played for two rival teams in a sense. Is it not? Like he's had success with CSK. He's had success with RCB as well. I know he was not there when they eventually won the title. But he was he was one of those captains, right? Like, that started the change and, you know, wanted to go hard right at the top. He set the example himself. Him and Virat going hard. I think in that middle of 2024, I feel like they would have had those hard conversations. And, you know, to, you know, really set the tone and go for it. And that's what the rest of the guys did. I believe... When he first came onto the scene for RCB, I'm also an RCB fan, right? So, at that time, I was not very welcoming of him, I think, in a sense where it did feel a bit weird that someone who's a CSK legend is now coming over to RCB. Not sure how it's going to be. He's also going to be the captain and all of that. At that time, I was also very high on David Warner. I felt like SRH had done complete injustice with him, all of that. Like, why did RCB not pick David Warner and all of that was my reasoning. Even though he also won, like, literally beat RCB in a final in 2016. Even then, I had that thought, but
and slowly after and steadily, all this, after all this, Shayan joined Good Areas and let go of these thoughts.
eventually, Faf du Plessis. Yeah, that 2023 season, I feel like I would say that is where he really wins me over. Like, what a terrific year for him, more than 700 runs, and had a really good strike rate. Right, what I'm saying is, when you're making those many runs, you also need to make sure it's not negative impact runs sometimes. So Faf, I think, never did that. Whenever he had his big seasons, his 2021 also his true strike rate was 13. 2023's true strike rate was 17. So these were his like two biggest seasons in the IPL, right? I wouldn't have picked him, I think, in my top 15, but I can see the argument for him. Also, as a player who evolved with times.
I had four preference, right? I had four different players to pick from. I just went with him for greater volume than the other guys.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yes, so Saurabh also picked five overseas players.
No. Mr. Nags has made it clear that the third guy I picked is not an overseas player.
And Kohli is like, why are you asking me? Ask the overseas player. And he's also like full laughing and everything. So the point being...
Shayan, your final pick?
Two more picks to go, right? I mean, one for me and one for you. One for Varun.
Your final pick.
My final pick and then Varun goes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes. So, then I think I will go with the player who I obviously just mentioned. I will go with Rishabh Pant. I still believe what he did at his best was you know, transformative. 2017, 18, 19. I've read out the years in front of you. For some reason, I forgot I had picked MS Dhoni, and then I had that whole monologue on Rishabh Pant in the MS Dhoni segment. But just to reiterate, for 3 years in the IPL from 2017 to 19, his true strike rates were 39, 41 and 32. And then again in 2022, he has a true strike rate of 20. I know he has a proper slide, and you know, he's not the same spin hitter anymore in particular. He's just not the player that, you know, he once was and could have been. I still quite enjoy watching him in Test match cricket. But, you know, I there's also that innings against Mumbai. Is it not in 2019 where he just goes absolutely nuts even against Jasprit Bumrah. Plays some of the most audacious shots. In 2018 also, he has, I think, another innings contender for one of the best innings. The one that he plays against SRH, right? 128 of 63 balls, I want to say. So, he also has the ability to pull off some of those mad knocks. I believe
his T20 debut also had the ability. No, he also had the ability to pull off those knocks. I don't know whether he still has
exactly.
This has the chance to really age well or really age badly, depending on how he goes this season. If he has a great season suddenly, you know, then when somebody is watching this Crick Picks in 2027, they'll be like, yes, Shayan, you were like spot on. And if he has a horrible season, they'll be like, what the hell is Shayan thinking, man?
I will say, let me just make it clear. I'm not very high on Rishabh Pant, the T20 batter right now, even if he proves me wrong. I will be more than happy if he proves me wrong. As I've said many times on many shows, he's one of my favorite cricketers. And I've seen him live in front of my eyes, right? Like, dude, like I was going to watch the match and he got run out before that. That was an unlucky dismissal also for him a bit. And the other game that I went to watch, he was, 63 or 49. Yes, he made 100 against RCB in the one game I watched. So if he continues that vein of form for this season, that would be really exciting. But again, it comes back to the same thing I keep saying over and over again. If you are a test batter, it is very, very hard to crack T20 at the same time. I've seen it with so many guys. We talk about AB de Villiers and Chris Gayle all the time, right? But Chris Gayle barely plays test cricket in the 2010s. It's much lesser than what it is in the 2000s. AB de Villiers after 2015 does not play a lot of test cricket. He still has those epic knocks at times against India, home and away, against Australia, that series. But AB de Villiers is a talent that is just very rare. And even he didn't play a whole lot of test cricket.
When his he's an outlier. He's an outlier. You can't use AB as an example.
That's what I'm even within him, I'm saying. Him to get his T20 best, he perhaps had to let go of some of test cricket, some of other formats. It's just really hard to crack it all at once is what I'm trying to say. Mayank Agarwal is a classic example of it being the opposite way. What happened with Mayank Agarwal was, he was in the test team. He was batting really, really well. And then he started batting with high intent in IPL as well. What happened in the next Border Gavaskar Trophy? He had a very, very tough time. He had some technical flaws compared to the 2018 one where he immediately got runs at the Boxing Day test. It's the same pattern. I'm telling you guys, it's very, very hard to crack it. And doing it sustainably, so I feel like those are some things we have to give some tax of that to guys who are playing multiple formats. It's why I've gone with Rishabh Pant as my pick, even with the decline that he's had.
Yeah, so last pick.
Final pick, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's so many different directions I could go here.
Of course.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of stuck between three people. And I don't know which of them to pick.
Right? Can I guess which some of those three?
Yeah, please guess.
Yeah,
please.
Go for it.
Is Sanju Samson one of them?
Yes.
Is Yashasvi Jaiswal one of them?
Not currently.
Is Abhishek Sharma, Travis Head, Nicholas Pooran?
Pooran is in the consideration.
So I got two of the three. Then there's Klassen. I don't know.
No, not class.
Years,
not enough years, I want to say.
Hey, we didn't discuss Pollard.
Pollard is very good.
Yeah.
Pollard. You know what? I completely forgot Pollard. I'm picking him as the 15th. Thank you.
Let's go.
I'll take Aaron Pollard as the 15th.
I will take that. I think I had him in my list, I believe. Okay, even I didn't write him down for some reason. That is strange.
I completely forgot he existed.
I was thinking of Pollard when I forgot about him. But I also didn't put him in the list.
I forgot to write him down.
So the thing is, after picking Faf, I realized that I had skipped Pollard in my list. Okay. Because I had him higher. I was looking at the lower numbers and I had this bunch of 4 or 5 guys, and after I picked him, I realized I could have actually just picked Watson and Pollard, but Pollard makes this list.
Other batters I was thinking of were KL Rahul and Robbie as well, because Robbie has some of the greatest seasons we've ever seen. And then he also has horrible seasons, so it's I don't know where he fell comes about.
He also has the longevity, right? Like with 4,900 odd runs. What were you saying, Saurabh, in the show? That you, Robbie and Deepak combined have almost 5,000 runs in the IPL.
Yes, two IPL we titles. Still do. It's true. Do. I mean, it's a downgrade for me, man. I have gone from a show where there was 5,000 IPL runs to one where there's zero. Like,
that's true. This,
yeah.
Disgusting.
That is very, very true. So just to finish off, I'm just going to read out the individual picks. So Saurabh went with AB de Villiers, Andre Russell, Virat Kohli, Shane Watson, and Fab du Plessis. Shayan went with Chris Gayle, Suryakumar Yadav, Yusuf Pathan, MS Dhoni, and Rishabh Pant. I went with David Warner, Suresh Raina, Jos Buttler, Virendra Sehwag, and Karan Pollard. So any notable omissions we had in the list? KL Rahul, I think even other people have issues with KL. You could make an argument he should be.
You
in
can
this.
Make an argument for KL even now, I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make an argument for KL in this list. Not yet.
I told you,
not yet.
I told you before our podcast.
Puran has a very good argument to be in here. Yeah.
I know Saurabh doesn't quite like the style of batting that KL does, I think.
No,
I feel like he's changed his stance because of the recent seasons, but he is not a subscriber of that style of play in general.
The penance needs to be done for 2019, 20, 21 and all, no? The penance has to be like for 5 years. 5 years of plus seasons and then he'll be back in contention.
So I was thinking Ruthuraj because he has two great seasons when CSK win. He's in my long list.
Yeah.
Gil for similar reasons. Jaiswal. Yeah.
All of those guys around the Jaiswal. Same, I would say. Samson.
Puran was, I think, close. Puran, very close for me, I think. Puran, Samson. Yeah.
Puran's numbers pop a lot, but strangely, his memory for me doesn't pop as much. You know, last season, I know he started off on fire, absolutely, and then sort of tapered off. But before that, I can't recall like these awesome Puran innings, that stand out.
So he's really good in the impacts of.
Do you remember that inning?
I think so. He's really good in the impacts of
yes. Absolutely. Right. Okay. 162 or something like that.
Okay. Now that you mention it, yeah. He and Stoinis both had great knocks in that match, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is one. Yeah. I had forgotten it. So, yeah.
So for Punjab in 2020, he averages 35 at 170 nearly as well, right?
Yeah.
For SRH, he's not great, but he has like 38, 144. He's okay. He's not great. So LSG, I think he's been really good for them ever since he started. Sure.
Their best batter by far. Yeah. Like not even a conversation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not close. Not an argument.
I wonder if you're still missing a bunch of... just honorable mention, I don't know how high he would have gone, but on Marsh, I mean... True average of 12, true strike rate of 9, impact per innings also decent too. Played T20 at that stage and did a pretty solid job. Not for top 15 maybe.
He was pretty solid, but the reason why I didn't include him in my consideration set is because he played in that era where T20 was not yet fully developed. So it's easier to have above par numbers then. I completely missed this.
Who is very actually underrated, and if you look at his true numbers, they are not very dissimilar to some players that have gone higher in this list, I will say. And that is Shikhar Dhawan. You guys won't believe it, but just going through his numbers, true average of 5, true average of 6, true strike rate of 4. So his true strike rate is actually better than Virat Kohli's, which is I believe 2. And they play for a similar amount of years. And Dhawan plays he plays for Hyderabad for some time, does he not? So some of the years that he has, it's not very high scoring. And then he also changes his style of play, does he not, when he's got the trade. And then when he knows he has to play faster, he ups it. So with the whole longevity argument, right, I believe like he at least deserves a mention for that. I feel like when going through his numbers, he might have a better case than someone like a Rohit Sharma, who we have absolutely, you know, ignored so far in this conversation. With good reason. I don't think he is in my top 15 either. But I believe Shikhar Dhawan definitely does deserve a mention. You guys might not have thought of him, but just go through his year-wise numbers.
I hadn't thought of Dhawan, so that's a good shout. I hadn't thought of him, Rohit, I did look at Rohit, but I decided that no, there's no way he makes it to the top 15 of all time.
It's too low, right? That's the issue.
Yeah. I mean, he should have, actually. He should have. Rohit, given everything, he should have been there. But unfortunately, doesn't have the performances.
I will tell you the stats for Dhawan. From 2018 to 2020, his true strike rates are 13, 7 and 19. And at like 497 runs, 521 runs, 618 runs. So, it's giving you like a good sample size of runs at like a well above par run rate. So I feel like that was that one period he was really good. Also, 2011 to 13 is a similar run for him. His raw stats won't pop out to you, but when you look at his true strike rates, they'll be around that 10-11 range. And I believe just for that, you know, we should have at least talked about him. And I'm happy.
Sanju in you guys? Sanju, of course, Varun was considering him. Was he in yours, yeah. Shan?
I think missed him in the names. But obviously, when you bring it up, I don't disagree with that. Because, like, I was actually not able to, you know, go through all of those guys. I was like, yeah, I've had a bunch of names. Now I'll wing it on the show. Unlike the bowlers one, which I was very meticulous with. This one was more confusing for me.
I think one guy
who could...
I think one guy who could make this list next year, if he continues, is Shreyas Iyer. Who could be in consideration for this list, if he continues on his arc.
No. He's, like, I still would have Shreyas. Sanju above him.
Easily. No, yeah. Sanju above him.
Not even close.
His true strike rate is only about par, 0.64.
The thing with Shreyas season he's had now, he has never had a season like this. With Rishabh Pant, he did what he did for 3 years back then.
Let's say Shreyas has a similar season to 2025 in 2026. Okay, so he had a pretty above average 24.
No, then I'll join the cult. I told you this before. Yeah. Right? I'll happily join the cult.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Shreyas Iyer for next year. Like if we are making this list next year, if he has a great season this year, he would be in the consideration set.
No, I think he would need to do the same thing twice for me to consider him.
Twice or thrice at least.
Then you are not a true cult member, Varun.
I haven't joined yet, right? I'm not joined yet. That's what
when
I'm saying.
When you apply, you'll be on probation.
So I was just saying, I'm a big fan of Sanju since, like, I want to say 2018 or 2019. He really gets his act together. He was very young when he starts off, doesn't he? Exactly. That's the other thing with his IPL career.
For sure.
Which I'm really always looking forward to, thanks to Jared. Mm. He's always got that in my brain. Where you look at age curves and plus years and all of that.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah. Right. With Sanju, you're not going to get 600 or 700 run seasons, right? But he will give you like 400 runs at a very good rate. And he's also really solid versus spin. Again, it doesn't look great conceptually because a lot of his great years versus spin were before the impact sub era, where having a strike rate of like 140 odd versus spin was really good, right? In the middle overs. Mm. It's just that because we're so used to the Nicholas Pearl and Rajat Patidar, Abhishek Sharma, Heinrich Klassen, we don't notice it anymore.
Guys, I have another name for you. I'm not saying he definitely makes it or anything, but thoughts on DK, because he also reinvents himself as a finisher. I feel like we don't have enough years for him to, you know, make a case in this.
DK, I did think of DK, but I think he didn't make my long list because of what you just said.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's pretty solid from 2018, isn't he? When he himself. Was it 2017 where it starts?
Yeah. Another interesting shout, possibly, like, just to, you know, end this, would be David Miller, I still think. I know he's also a finishing anchor like MS Dhoni, but deserves a mention at least for what he did.
Two good seasons not in my top 15. At the start. Then he does, Nomis doesn't do a lot, and then he has a great 2022 and a decent 2023. I don't think there's enough good years, man, or consistency. Like, if it was one or the other, I could have given it to
Maxwell also. You know, I think Maxwell falls in the same boat, although very different kind of batter.
Different kind of
David Miller. I think Maxi has a better case than Miller does.
Could be.
That is a take.
No.
How many years is
Maxi? Maxi.
Will you count?
14, 17.
14, 17, correct.
17.
21, 22, 23. 5 years.
So that's 5 years. I think 22 is not as high as the other two, but yeah, I think we can count that. 22.
Yeah.
Fair. I can see your argument. Then. Yes, true.
Yeah, but they were in the similar boat for me that, you know, they've had some nice peak years, but there's too many years of below average performance push them into that.
Can't disagree with that.
So, Shaya, so Maxi in 22, true average of 7, true strike rate near 40. So...
22. Sorry, which was this year? There is 1 year I believe he is not as good. I can't quite remember.
None of the RCB years, man.
I think 21, 22, 23, he was uniformly
21, he was
good,
the best
man.
Batter by far for RCB. I have no issues saying that.
And 23, he was 5 and 37.
22.
So 7 and 40, and then 26 and 25.
What am I missing there? Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah, no issues.
Yes. So. I think we've gone through a lot of. Please let us know what your order for your top 15 would be in the comments, and let us know if you guys would have had someone we didn't have in our list. Thank you so much for listening up to this point, guys. We'll see you again on next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.